Hello, fantasy managers. Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, part of the Pitchless Podcast Network. My name is Carson Picard. I will be your host for this weekend edition of the pod. Let's get into everything baseball related from Saturday, August 30th. We will start, as always, with our news and notes, starting with a couple of injuries to talk about here. George Lombard Jr., the first one I'll talk about, he left the game with right knee discomfort. No further word on the severity of the injury, but we'll keep you updated as the news comes out of the Bronx. Cade Cavalli, this is a real bummer because he was absolutely dealing through four innings and then took a comebacker to the right ankle and had to leave his start. Was very effective for the first four innings, but again, no word on the severity there. Doesn't seem to be like he'll miss too much time. Maybe an IL stint, although I do doubt it. We'll let you know. Luis Rengifo, this one will require an IL stint. Carted off the field with a right knee sprain. He will get some further imaging, the severity of which we do not know, but he is likely out, if not the rest of the season, at least for a decent bit of time, as the right knee, you know, that can really be a major issue for hitters. Any knee injuries you have to be really aware of, and given how it looked on the field, not exactly great signs. Couple rehab starts and recovery updates to mention here. Shohei Ohtani, the big one, he is still laboring. He had a bullpen session on the 28th, did not feel 100%, and so his turn of the rotation was skipped. It was said like he would open, be an opener, does not appear to be the case. So still day-to-day on the return of Shohei Ohtani to the mound. Connor Griffin, on some better news, is going to start a rehab assignment, could rejoin the Pirates as soon as next week. Couple transactions to note here. Juan Soto, Max Fried have both been activated, and Trevor Story, talking about today now, Story and Roman Anthony are going to be activated out of Boston. So a couple superstars, genuine superstars, returning to their respective positions for these big league clubs, which is always lovely to see as you are gearing up for your postseason. We move on now to the notable performances from yesterday's game. There were a lot of games, 17 games, as two different doubleheaders were underway from Saturday's game. But the hitter of the day did not come from one of those, but instead from what I think it's fair to say by this point is your 2026 NL MVP, Pete Crow Armstrong. I think put the cherry on top, locked it away, and with Ohtani not pitching as much and no other real challengers to the throne, Pete Crow Armstrong surely has locked it up. 4-for-6 with 3 home runs. Not one, not two, 3 long balls, 35 home runs on the year. He is on 40-40 pace, and just, you know, everything that can be said about Pete Crow Armstrong almost has been said by this point, but this is just an absolutely brilliant performance. Completely dominant performances from Pete Crow Armstrong, and really from the entire Cubs offense. They combined for 17 runs, 19 hits, 6 home runs, 3 of them, of course, by Pete Crow Armstrong, but 5 walks on top of that and a hit by pitch. So they just absolutely terrorized the Cincinnati Reds. And sometimes I go into this episode, I have to do all the research of who I know is going to be my hitter of the day. And sometimes at 2 p.m., it is made apparent to me. Moving on, Jonah Cox went 1-for-2 with a walk and 3 stolen bases, as Cox has been fairly impactful in the Giants outfield. Bryce Eldridge, in a combined stat line from the two doubleheader games, went 4-for-7 with 2 walks. Lars Nootbaar went 2-for-4 with a grand slam, a walk and a double in his combined 2 games. Luis Garcia Jr. in his combined doubleheader went 3-for-5 with a stolen base. Adley Rutschman, in his one game, went 3-for-4. Nick Sogard hitting sometimes at the top of the order, sometimes in the middle for the Red Sox, a combined 3-for-7 with a home run and a double. Jeff McNeil, moving on to Vegas. Jeff McNeil, 2-for-4 with a walk and a stolen base. Brandon Nimmo, 3-for-4 with a home run and a stolen base. Christian Yelich had a great day, 2-for-3 with a walk, stolen base, and a double. He is hitting .306, .364, .510 over his last 15 games. William Contreras went 2-for-3 with a home run and a walk. Ronald Acuna Jr., not a standout performance here. 1-for-3 with a walk, but did want to note he did steal another base. 19 on the season for him. Manny Machado went 2-for-4 with a walk and a stolen base. That is, I believe, his fourth stolen base. So the old guy in Machado still being able to get some bags in. Dustin Harris went 3-for-5 with a stolen base at the bottom of the Padres lineup. Jared Young, always puzzling how I rate Jared Young. It seems to ebb and flow over the season. 3-for-4 with a triple. Angel Martinez went 2-for-4 with a home run. Dalen Lyle been nice lately. 1-for-3 with a double and 2 walks. Cal Raleigh, he's heating up, folks. 2-for-3 with a home run and a walk. 5 home runs in his last 7 games for Cal Raleigh. Ellie De La Cruz went 1-for-2 with 2 walks and a stolen base. Sal Stewart, 2-for-4 and got his 30th home run of the season for what's likely going to be your NL Rookie of the Year, barring any crazy surges or fall-offs. Brandon Lau went 1-for-3 with a home run and 2 walks. And finally, Andrew Benintendi, 3-for-4 with a home run and a double. Check out the Daily Batters Box article for more information on all of these hitters. I'm going to take a short break, and I'll come back with my starting recap, the reliever report, and a preview of today's games. See you in a bit. All right, welcome back, folks, to the First Pitch Podcast. We move on now to give the starters recap, where I go over all of the best and biggest performances from yesterday's games. And this one is someone who has been the pitcher of the day several times before, although probably hasn't in quite some time. I don't always keep track of what Jake's up to, but most of the time he pitches on my nights. Christopher Sanchez went and tossed a gem against the Los Angeles Angels. 7 innings, no earned runs, 2 hits, just 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts with 91 pitches. One of the reasons I love Sanchez is this right here. 16 whiffs and 36 CSW percent. Sanchez is a really funny pitcher because he has a east-west mix that is ground ball oriented and yet gets a lot of swing and miss. That is very rare, very unique, and he does it excellent. A sinker changeup that just wipes away almost everybody. And this was absolutely fantastic. Was really nice in his command, solid stuff, got a PLV grading really high for him. And this is one of the better performances all year for Sanchez. Martin Perez, moving on, went 5 2/3 with 1 earned run, 5 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks on 83 pitches, 14 whiffs, and 30 CSW percent, which looks really nice. But Martin Perez, should not surprise you, was not very kindly reviewed by the pitch modeling. Nevertheless, still a solid performance from the Atlanta pitcher. Nolan McLean went 7 innings, no earned runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks, 93 pitches. Effectively wild, but 6 whiffs, 23 CSW percent. Very strange start for McLean, who you associate with maybe allowing a crooked number or two, but getting a lot of whiffs and a lot of strikeouts. But he's been very weird lately, has adjusted his arsenal. Very fastball-heavy start, over 70%. Fastballs, which is a little strange for a guy that's mainly known for the effectiveness and the massive sweeps in his curveball, in his sweeper. And there was an MLB.com article about how he has effectively dropped the sweeper and just undergoing some changes, and effective on a run prevention basis, maybe less so on the whiffs. So McLean is continuing to tinker with his game. Merrill Kelly went 7 innings, no earned runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, 7 Ks, 100 pitches. Also kind of effectively wild on a weird start from the veteran, but 13 whiffs, 30 CSW for him. Sandy Alcantara had a weird start, had a sandy start. 6 innings, 4 earned runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts on 94 pitches, 12 whiffs for 28 CSW percent. Sandy's been tricky this year, has had times where he's looked like the Cy Young winning self, has had times when he has just been getting knocked around and messed with your ratios. Right now, calling him streamer is way too harsh, but he is someone that very much is dependent on if you're in a quality start league or not. His value fluctuates a lot by that. Blake Snell goes 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 3 walks, and gets double digit 10 strikeouts for 99 pitches, 16 whiffs, 31 CSW percent, and totally didn't take a bathroom break in the middle of his start. I don't know if you guys saw this. He ran off the mound, and the official word is that he was adjusting his shoes and the insole. Listen, we've all been there, right? We've all been there. It's okay. Jake Bennett went 6 innings, no earned runs, 3 hits, no walks, 6 strikeouts on 83 pitches, 14 whiffs, and 31 CSTLP percent against the New York Yankees. And finally, Cade Anderson made his second MLB start. Was not too great, although did show some signs of improvement. 4 1/3, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts on 85 pitches, 8 whiffs, 22 CSW percent, which does not sound very good, although a little bit under the hood, I think it does reveal some better things. The first start, a lot of people were fairly concerned about the fastball. I'm pleased to say this time it was much better. More break, more induced vertical break, hot, more velocity, seemed to be a lot more MLB ready. Not a mind-bogglingly great pitch, but if he has stronger command of it and the secondary still grayed out really well, that should fare well for him. Nevertheless, tentatively, he seems to be treading water right now. I think Nick has him as a Holly upside. I generally agree with that assessment. I think he's been someone that is definitely rosterable in almost all leagues, although don't necessarily expect him to have mind-blowingly great stuff, which should be reasonably consistent. Give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen if you want to know more about all these performances and then some, and of course check out Nick and Jake's daily SP roundups as we move on now to the reliever report, where I give you a summary of who saved it and who blew it. Not a ton of saves despite the ton of games in baseball yesterday, but Brian Hudson picks up his 7th save of the year for the Chicago White Sox. Louis Varland, his 31st for the Toronto Blue Jays. Brian Baker, his 39th for the Tampa Bay Rays. 39 saves from the Rays. Crazy. Who would have thought it would be Brian Baker, too? Anyway, Didier Fuentes picked up his 3rd save of the year. Trevor Megill picked up his 25th. And Andrew Kittredge, his 8th. Who blew it? It was at the end of the night, but Jack Dreyer blew it for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Came in, not technically a blown save, but came into a tied game in the 9th inning and allows a walk-off. 1/3 of an inning tossed, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks as